If you would turn in your Bibles back to the place we left, Genesis chapter 22. We looked at the story of Abraham being tested by God, where God had asked of Abraham to offer his son, his only son, the son of promise, as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Abraham, in willful obedience, responded to God's request. In so doing, discovered that God provides for us. You and I are walking in obedience to him. For at that point in time, when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, an angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said unto him, "Do not harm the boy. Now I know that there is nothing that you will withhold from me." And Abraham then saw a ram that had been caught in the thickets, in the bush, by its horns, and went over and got that ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham made a declaration. He said, "The Lord will provide. On the mountain of the Lord, he will provide." It was in response to God's provision of a ram. Go back. In his response to God's provision, that he said he would provide. Amen? He would provide. I want to read for you verses 15, and I want to go to the end of, well, not quite the end of, but to verse number 18. Amen. I got to read that too. I want to read for us verses 15 through 18, excuse me, 19 of Genesis chapter 22. This is after Abraham has made the declaration, said that the Lord will provide. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen. So we want to continue this morning talking about the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. It was in response to God's provision of a ram for the burnt offering that Abraham first of all said, "The Lord will provide." Amen. And one of the things that I want you and I to remember is this, and I believe that this is a very important point, because as we talk about applying the name of Jesus, as we talk about applying the names of God, it is important that you and I understand that you just can't come out of nowhere and apply God's name and expect his power to be effective in your life or for your circumstance. That God is for those who are with him. Amen. 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 Everybody wants to claim God, but let's be honest. Everybody can't claim God. If you're not walking in obedience to God, he is not obligated to honor your requests. Amen? But when you and I are walking in obedience to God, when you and I are following his instructions, when you and I are walking according to his will, God has a name to protect. God has a reputation to protect. And because God is not a liar, he says that he will indeed move on behalf of those who are fully committed to him. And he gives you and I the right to cry out unto him, Abba, Father. And he hears us when we cry. And whatever it is that we find ourselves standing in the need of, because we've cried out to a God who is more than able, there is no situation in which you can find yourself that your God cannot find you and meet your need when you're walking according to his will and according to his purposes. And so it's important that you and I understand that when we start talking about the Lord will provide, we're talking about this name that was given as a response to God's provision, to God's servant who responded in obedience to God's request. Amen? The Lord will provide. That's in response to God's provision to God's servant who has walked in obedience, who has responded in obedience to God's request of his servant. Amen? And you need to know that when you line up on God's side, God will fight for you. God will be with you. God will direct your path. God will lead. God, he will make a way out of no way. You remember the story about Joshua. Let me jump ahead a little bit. You remember the story about Joshua as he's getting ready to take the city of Jericho. He is out surveying and he's walking around. And as he's out walking around, he sees a man who's dressed in battle fatigue. And Joshua goes over to him and he says, are you for us or are you for them? And the man looks at Joshua and says, you got it all twisted. I'm not for either one of you, but I come as a commander of the Lord's army. And if you want to win, you better get on my side. And Joshua said, I am the Lord's servant. What is it that you have for me to do? Because I understand that when I line up on your side, then you are fighting on my behalf. And it's not the other way around. Brothers and sisters, you and I can't make a claim and then have God come in and say, now, God, we need you to walk with us. You and I need to be on the front end hearing God say what he wants us to do. And then when we respond in obedience to what he wants us to do, he brings along the resources that we need in order for his will to be accomplished. Amen. Abraham, his life was aligned with God's will because he had accepted God's invitation to walk with him. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, and I want to encourage you, if you hadn't read this story, go refresh yourself one more time. Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 22 is really about the life of Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. God called Abram and he said, Abram, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave the place of residence where you have been. And I want you to go to a place where I am telling you or that I will show you. In obedience to that invitation, in response to that invitation, Abraham leaves that place where he was. He leaves his family. He leaves his father's household and he goes to the place that God wants him to go. And in so doing, he aligns himself with the will of God. And now that he is aligning himself with the will of God, he is making himself available to receive God's provision for the journey. And brothers and sisters, I've got to tell you that sometimes God calls you and me to leave those that we think are closest to us. Amen? Sometimes he says that you've got to separate yourself because what they are about is not what I'm about. And he says that you need to understand that you are not so much associated by blood. That is not where your allegiance needs to be. He said your allegiance needs to be to him, the one who created you, the one who called you, the one who gave you purpose in your life. And when there are those who are connected to you, who are preventing you from being all that God called you to be, who are preventing you from fulfilling your purposes, God's purposes in your life, he says sometimes you've got to separate yourself from them so that you can then fulfill God's mission for your life. And you and I need to have the kind of boldness that Abram had. We need to have that kind of confidence that Abram had that says that if God is calling me to separate myself, then I will be willing to leave behind those that are not ready to go. I think it's a tragic story. When you think about the truth about King Saul, you remember Saul was the first king of Israel. It's a tragic story that his son Jonathan was so committed to him that he missed out on an opportunity to walk with David, who had been anointed king. Amen. All because Jonathan was so committed to his daddy. He knew that God had called David to be the next king. He knew that his daddy had been fired. He knew it because his daddy was showing all kinds of signs that the Holy Spirit had left him. Why? Because he was going around acting like a crazy man. He was trying to kill David, and one day he tried to kill his son. Listen, when you got folk acting like that, don't you have sense enough? Separate yourself. And because Jonathan didn't separate himself, he ended up dying the same death that his daddy died. And so all I'm saying is to you is that sometimes you got to realize that it's not about the blood that runs through your vein. It's about the blood that has washed you and made you whole. You remember Jesus one day? His family, he was ministering, and his family showed up because they thought what he was doing was crazy. They showed up and they say, your family wants to see you. And Jesus stopped what he was doing in the midst of ministry because he had to make a declaration to help people understand, oh, it's not about the family that I was born into by birth. He said, these then are my family, those who do the will of God are my family. And brothers and sisters, you and I have got to adopt that kind of attitude. You've got to realize that God has taken us from different places. God has taken us from different setups, and he has brought us together and united us as family in Jesus Christ. And we've got to learn how to love with the kind of love that he has poured into our hearts that says we belong to him. And every man and woman who would submit themselves to him then becomes my sister. They become my brother. That becomes my family. We are united by the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm going to get myself happy. You can go with me. You can go with me. Amen. 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 And so Abraham had aligned his life with God's will. Brothers and sisters, here's the truth of the matter. When you and I accept Jesus Christ, accept the gift of who God has said that we are to be, then we too then begin to align our lives with his will. Saying yes to Jesus is a required step. It's a required step to having our lives align with God's will. Amen. You have to say yes to Jesus. You can't say no to Jesus and then call yourself walking with God. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that he was then the firstborn of many brothers. He said he came so that he then could have a big family. And so we've got to say yes to Jesus in order to align ourselves to God's will. And accepting God's provision of for forgiveness for our sins, then it grants you and me access to his well of salvation. When you and I say yes to Jesus, we are accepting God's provision for the forgiveness of sins. For there is no other name by which men can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And then that grants you and me access to his well of salvation. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 12. It is really just a few short scriptures, a few short verses, but it's all about praise. Listen to what it says. I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation, and with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. Don't you like that? The picture of wells means that is that it runs deep. It means that you've got a constant flow. Let me tell you that you will never run out of what he has for you. And then once you align yourself with Jesus Christ by accepting him as the payment for your sins, it opens up access to the well of salvation, and everything that you need, you find it in Jesus. Everything that you need, you find it in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when you and I are walking in obedience to God's instructions, we will receive his provision. Amen. It is when we are walking in obedience to his instructions, we will receive his provision. First, we have this book, 66 volumes of it, that give us the will of God, shows us God's heart. It reveals to us God's truth. And in it, he has placed truths that help you and me walk. When we walk according to it, walk according to the calling upon our lives, then you and I are going to have access to his provision. We will receive it. Not only that, but he's placed his spirit on the inside of you and me, which means that he brings real-time information for you and me. He takes the written word and he makes it alive by his spirit. He pours up on you and me wisdom so that information we have, we are able to make right decisions in accordance to his will for our lives and for his purposes. And he does that by his spirit. So you and I must stay aligned with him, because he not only speaks through his word, but he speaks by his spirit. An on-time word that helps you in the middle of crisis. An on-time word that reveals truth. He speaks to us just like he said to Abraham. Don't you touch the boy. He speaks to us so that we know what to do. So you and I must stay aligned with him. But not only does he speak to us through his word, not only does he speak to us by his spirit, but thanks be to God, he's given us a family that he'll also speak to us. Amen. Amen. God has said that he will use you and me to encourage one another. He will use you and me to speak to one another. He will use you and me for revelation to one another. He says that because you have trusted me, I will use your voice to speak words of encouragement, words of hope, words of life to your brothers and sisters. Why? Because he has not called you and me to walk alone, but he's called us to walk together. And he says if you and I are going to walk together, we've got to be in agreement. If we're going to be in agreement, we've got to have something that you and I can stand on. It is the immutable word of God in which you and I stand on. And then we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs so that we can then celebrate the goodness of God, so that we can then light a path for our brothers and sisters to walk in. That's why you and I, we won't let one another walk in sin. Because the Spirit of God will allow us, after we've dealt with the plank in our eye, to deal with the splinter in your sister or your brother's eye. And then because you have a heart that is set right for your sister or brother, you can go to them and speak in truth and say to them the direction in which you're going. The things that you are doing are not pleasing unto the Lord. Turn away from your sinful and wicked ways. Turn back to God and he will be with you. Because we speak it in truth, we speak it in love, we can then help turn the sinner from his or her way. And so he speaks to us through one another. Amen. 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 So when we are receiving God's word, our response is to walk in obedience to God's word. Amen. Whether it is the word that comes as we're reading the Bible, whether it is the word that comes as his spirit is speaking to us, whether it is the word that comes as one of his children, one of his servants brings a message to us, our job is to respond in obedience to the word that God has given and walk in obedience to the instructions that he has given. Amen. We got to lose the attitude. We got to lose the attitude about what God ain't told me. Haven't you been there before? You know how it is. You got some people will come and they will share a word from you and you be like, well, if God wanted me to know about it, he would have told me. He just told you. What's wrong with you? You were not positioned to receive. And so because of his grace and mercy, he sent it another way. And now are you going to reject what he sent? That's called pride. That's called arrogance. And let's just be honest, that's called ignorant. Amen? And what you and I are to do is to learn how to walk in humility before God and say that even out of the mouths of babes, God can speak truth to us. And if we are tuned into him, if we're tuned to the frequency of his voice, we will be able to recognize his message regardless of the messenger. You don't have to like the messenger to receive the message that comes from the Lord. I should say that again. You don't have to like the messenger who brings the message to receive the word from the Lord. Amen? Oh, can I just go ahead and just help myself since I'm already out there? So many times you and I have gotten caught up in this personality thing. No, no, no. You got it all twisted. Don't you know that God can speak to whoever or whatever he wants to speak through? If God can take a donkey and use him to declare a message to a madman, can he use anybody else? Can he use anybody else? And it's not the messenger that's the problem. It's the one on the receiving end that becomes the problem. You and I need to posture ourselves in a position such that we are always looking to hear what God has said. And so we filter messages through Christ. We filter messages through his word. And if what the messenger has declared lines up with what God's word has said, and if there is a conviction because God brings about agreement with my spirit, if there's a conviction, it doesn't matter where the message comes from. I got to line up and go with what the message is because it has come from the Lord. And listen, when I receive the message that comes from the Lord and began to walk in obedience to his instructions, that means now I'm going to receive his provision for the call that he has upon my life. And so, our message as we talk about this great God that he will provide for us. There were a series of questions that I began to ask myself as I began to work my way through this scripture. The first was this: who will provide for me? David, you remember in Psalm, I think it's 121, says, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Many theologians will talk about this, that David's help wasn't in the hills. Amen. In the hills was the place where, you know what, you would expect the armies to come down or where they were. So his help, he's looking. He said, should I look to the place where traditionally and historically help comes from? And so it's a question. Shall I look to the hills? And then he says, where does my help come from? Then he says, my help, what did he say, Sister Juanita? Comes from the Lord. He says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. Well, wait a minute. We're going to trust in who? The name of the Lord. It is the understanding that God can use whatever resource he wants to come to my need, but ultimately he is the one who will provide for me all the help that I need. So who will provide for me? The Lord will provide for me. Amen. It is the Lord who will provide for me. That when I'm looking at things, I got to take my eyes off of things and put my eyes up on him, knowing that things might let me down, but he will never let me down. Knowing that he can take those things that I'm looking at and he can make them bigger than what they really are, because it is the Lord who provides for me. Just ask that group of folks who were gathered together, gotten hungry, and they didn't have any food to eat. And Jesus said, hey, anybody got something? Little boy said, I got 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread, Jesus said, that'll work, because when you understand that it is the Lord who will provide, he can take what seems to be little. Oh, yes, he will make it more than enough. And it says that Jesus took those 2 little fish, those 5 loaves of bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he started passing it out. And there was more than enough, because it is the Lord who provides for you and me, and he can take whatever resource that we have and he can stretch it and stretch it and stretch it and add to it and add to it, because he's going to provide for you and for me. I like that. Then I said, well, why is the Lord going to provide for me? Huh? Why is he going to provide for me? Well, the Lord is going to provide for me because I am in Christ. That's why. It has nothing to do with my pedigree. It has nothing to do with how much I earn. It has nothing to do with my works. It has everything to do with who I'm connected to. He's going to provide for me because I am in Christ, and he has declared that in Christ, you and I have everything that we need in Christ. That's why you've got to say yes to Jesus, because when you say yes to Jesus, it puts you in Christ. And once you are in Christ, you are secure, you are protected, you have a covering. He says that because you are in him, he then is going to provide for you. Not based upon your righteousness, but based upon his righteousness. Why? Because he took off your old robe, your old clothes of sin, and he put on you a robe of righteousness, so that you are now clothed in royalty, so that you now have that which identifies you as being a member of the royal family. And because you are in Christ, your identity has been changed, and you've been granted access to all of his provisions. So God is going to provide for me. God is going to provide for you because we are in Christ. So then I said, well, how will the Lord provide for me? You already know the answer, don't you? Through Christ. That's how he's going to provide for me, through Christ. In Philippians Chapter 4, let me turn there, because it's a scripture worthy of you and I reading, committing to memory, operating on, because it talks about his great riches. You remember that most of us know verse number 13, I can do all things, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Remember that one? But then when you go down to verse number 19, he says, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He said, how is he going to provide? In Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, I have everything that I need, because all of the riches dwell within him, because in Christ, there is everything. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who comes to represent God. Christ was fully man, but fully God. And in him, every promise of God is yes and amen. That's why when you see appearances of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's actually a manifestation of Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate expression of Jesus Christ before he comes as a baby. It is Jesus showing up to meet with people that God has called, has appointed, and he is showing up to let them know that he is with them. In the scripture that we were reading, Genesis 22, you will notice that the angel of the Lord began to talk to Abraham, and he began to declare some things to Abraham. He didn't say, I brought you a message. He said, I declare. It is Jesus Christ himself showing up and meeting with and providing for his people. So it was Jesus who provided the ram for Abraham. Jesus then will provide all that you and I need for life and for godliness. Read Ephesians chapter 1. And what you will discover is that everything that you need is found in Christ. And because you and I have been seated with him, we have everything that we need. And so he's going to provide for you and me through Christ. That's why when you're in a pickle, when you're in a tight situation, oh, it's a good thing to say, Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. That's why it's a good thing to say, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, because in him I have all that I need. And there is a power that comes about in that name. There are provisions that come about in that name when I be still and understand and know that in Christ I have all that I need. Amen. So he's going to provide for me through Christ. So then I had to say, when then, when will the Lord provide for me? He's going to provide for you when you need it, and it's going to be right on time. Amen. Oh, he may not come, you know the song, when you want him, but he's always on time. And what that means is that sometimes you've got to wait for it. Amen. Sometimes it won't come. His provision won't come at the time that you were expecting it. That means you've got to wait on him, because here's what you know. You know that the Lord is going to provide for you. You know that the Lord is going to provide for you because you are in Christ. You know that the Lord is going to provide for you through Christ. And so sometimes you've got to wait, because you know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And so you got to wait for it. Wait for it. If it hasn't shown up, wait for it, because you know it's coming. Why? Because he has said that he will provide for the man or the woman who is walking in obedience to him. And when you and I are walking in obedience to him, following his instructions, just wait for it, because he's going to provide it right on time. Right on time. In our story with Abraham, when did the ram in the bush show up? Right on time. When Moses has the children of Israel out in the desert, and Pharaoh's army is on this side, and they've got the Red Sea on this side, when does God open up the Red Sea? Right on time. He shows up right on time. Your job and my job is to have enough confidence, to have enough faith, to have enough belief to just wait on him. To not get anxious, to not get in front of him, to not take matters into our own hands, but to just wait on him. To know that when he shows up, he's going to have adequate provision. And that it doesn't matter what has come against me, he's going to be there and he's going to provide for me. Amen? We've got to wait on him and not get ahead of him. You remember, that's what got King Saul fired. He was not willing to wait. He felt, because he got anxious and nervous because people started leaving, and he was like, if I don't do something quickly, my army is gonna leave me, and I'm going to have to go and fight this battle on my own. So because he got nervous, he disobeyed the instruction that had come to him from the man of God who said, wait. He took into his own hands and he sacrificed what he wasn't supposed to have been doing, because he got impatient and didn't wait. Brothers and sisters, all I'm saying is for you and me is to be certain of this, that the Lord will provide for us, and we know that his provision will be right on time. Sometimes we just got to wait for it. And when you find yourself getting anxious, remember the spirit that lives in you is a spirit that gives you and me patience. When you find yourself getting anxious, say, help me, Holy Spirit. You know I'm getting anxious because we got to operate in truth. You know I'm getting anxious and I'm about to do something that I don't have any business doing. Hold me so that I don't move in a way that is not consistent with your will, so that I don't move out of step with your plan. Help me so that I wait on you and receive your provision, because your provision is going to be the right provision for the right moment, and it's going to deliver exactly what I need. So sometimes you got to say, help me, Holy Spirit. Why? Because you know he's always going to provide for you, and it's going to come right on time. So I got the who. I've got the why. I've got the how. I've got the when. Only thing is left is, what is he going to provide? Amen. What will the Lord provide for me? You and I already know that whatever I say is not going to be an exhaustive list, because he's going to show up and meet you and provide for you whatever you need. That's the power of the great I am. He says, I am the great I am, and I will be whatever it is that I need to be in order to deliver you. But I want us to recognize that the one thing, or the three things, that he will provide for us is strength. He'll provide his resources. He'll provide us with faith to carry out his will. Amen. And what you know is that in the process, his resources are unlimited. Amen. He's going to give us what we need to carry out his will. He's going to give us the strength that we need. The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. Amen. I'm going to find strength in satisfying and bringing joy unto God. And he's going to give me what I need. He's going to provide for me the resources. And he's going to provide for me the faith to carry out his will. That last part is important. Remember this. All of this is carrying out his will. I'm aligning myself with God's will. As I align myself with God's will, as I walk in obedience to God's request, to God's instructions, God's promise is that he will provide me, he will give me provision that is adequate to carry out his will, adequate to carry out his mission. I no longer belong to myself. I now belong to him. He has me on mission. I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I come to exalt his name and to lift up his name. It's no longer about you and me building our own names. It's about us building up his name. And so when we're about building up his name, he's going to give us all that we need in order to build up his name, in order to carry out his will. So when we start talking about he is going to give us faith, it says he's going to give us freedom, first of all, from sin. And it's really the power of sin. Sin no longer has rule over you. Amen. We now have mastery over sin. You now tell your flesh what to do. You now give orders to your flesh because it no longer has control over you, because the one who lives on the inside of you is greater than the one who lives outside. And whatever pressure he may be bringing to bear on you, you've got one who lives in you that can help you be an overcomer. That's why you can say yes to Jesus and no to sin, because sin no longer has power over you. You've been given freedom from the power of sin. Sin. You've been provided the assurance of salvation. God has said to you and me that when you put your hope and your trust in Jesus, when you say yes to Jesus, what you can be assured of is this, that first of all, you are saved from your sins, but then he brings a salvation that gives you and me more and more. That's why he says you've been sozoed. For everyone who will call on the name of Jesus will be saved. It does not matter what situation you find yourself in. You have the assurance of his salvation, meaning that he's going to come and deliver save you from whatever crisis you may be in. He's going to come and rescue you in your hour of need. He's going to be with you so that you don't drown. You can walk through the fire, but you won't be burned. You can walk through the waters and you won't drown. Why? Because you have the assurance of his salvation. He says that you have his provision of inexhaustible resources, that he is going to give you whatever is needed for you to carry out his will. Listen, when God calls you, when God gives you an assignment, when God tells you that he wants you to do something, he's going to give you inexhaustible resources to carry out his will. So when he says to you and I, be holy because he is holy, he's going to give us inexhaustible resources so that you and I can be holy. When he says walk upright, he's going to give us the resources so that we can walk upright. When he says bind the hand of the enemy, he's going to give you and me the authority to say to the enemy, you no longer have dominion here. You got to get up and get on out of here. He will give us inexhaustible resources so that we can then exercise and carry out his will. And then he's going to give us truthful life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you have Jesus, you have all that you need. He said that his word would be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Because of that, we can be sure of the direction that we are going because he has given us truth for life. He's going to help us distinguish truth from lie. And so when everybody is going around falling for lies, you're going to stand for the truth because he is going to provide you with revelation by his spirit to help you understand his truth. And then he says, I love this one, hope everlasting. It's not a hope that's going to run out. Amen. It's a hope. It's a hope that's everlasting. It is you being able to hold on to his promises with expectancy, knowing that what God has promised, he will indeed provide. It is that truth, that hope, it never lets us down. Never lets us down. Why? Because in him, we can be assured that he's going to show up. Let me read these scriptures for you associated with hope. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces what? Endurance. Endurance produces what? Proven character. Proven character produces what? Hope. You got to go through something to have some hope. Okay. He says, and this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. Psalm 71 verses 5 and 6 says, for you are my hope, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth, and you took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. My hope is in the Lord God. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 22. Now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, those who depend on his faithful love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait for the Lord. We wait for Jehovah. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Jehovah, for we put our hope in you. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 20 through 21. Talking about Abraham, it says he believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken. So will your descendants be. He considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and also considered the deadness of Sarah's womb without weakening in the faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to provide. Then one of my favorites, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an everlasting hope that is given. And he says that as you exercise your faith, when you put your faith to work, that then you have available to you the provision that God will provide. He says, as you put your faith to work, it's done by faith. You put in your faith to work, your faith, that you are, Brother David, I'm a borrower what you said. Amen. He said that faith is more than one word. He said faith is about trust. It's about reliance. It's about commitment. It's about obedience by love. All of that represents faith. And when you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ, he says that then you will be able to receive from him all the provision that he has made available for you and me to walk in what he has called us to do. Brothers and sisters, God has committed himself to walk with us and to provide for us when we commit ourselves to him. As we are into this Christmas season, we know that it actually talks about the advent of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize Advent because the last four Sundays, just before December 25th, we recognize them as Advent Sundays because they talk about the coming of the Messiah. And in those four Sundays, many will gather and they will talk about hope, love, joy, and peace, because these are things that come with the coming of Jesus, the one who provides for you and me perfectly. You and I need to realize that as we walk into and walk in obedience to God, that through Jesus Christ, he is providing everything that we need. And we see this great example, this great illustration, even as we look at Mary, the virgin mother, the virgin young lady who became the mother to carry Jesus Christ. And as we look at Joseph, the man who would be his earthly father, we see God's provision expressed to them as they are walking in obedience to his call upon their lives. It is Mary who is pledged to be married to Joseph, who finds herself in a place where God desires to use her. And though God's request is a difficult one, she does not shrink back from him coming and using her. For when the angel Gabriel shows up and says to her, "You are blessed and highly favored. God has selected you. God has chosen you to be the Lord of our Savior, or the mother of our Savior." She simply wants to know, "How can I be a mother? Because I haven't been intimate with a man." And the angel says to her, "You're going to become pregnant because the Spirit of the living God is going to overshadow you." I'll just stop right there for a minute, because it talks about how when the Spirit of God comes upon you, something happens. Amen. It is a picture of what happens when the Spirit of God shows up in your life, and he takes that which was barren, he takes that which was dead, and he quickens it and makes it alive. Brothers and sisters, you and I ought to get happy because that which had no energy finds energy when the Spirit of God comes up on you and me. And he has said, when you say yes to Jesus, he will allow his Spirit to overshadow you. He will allow his Spirit to fill you. And
he will allow the power of his spirit to move in your life and in your circumstances and energize every gift and every talent that he has put in you so that now you have purpose and so that now you understand that you were created to worship him, and you begin to take what he has put in you and you begin to use it to his glory, because he took what he made and he energized it by his spirit that never, ever dies. It says the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you so that the child conceived, so that the child born to you will be the Son of God. Mary responds to the angel in the same way that you and I must learn how to respond to God. While she does not understand the essence or the how all of this is going to take place, she simply believes. It is an act of faith, because what is about to happen to her has never happened to anyone else. She's the first and the last. While she does not fully comprehend it, she believes and walks it out in faith. How is her faith demonstrated? By her response. She says, I am the Lord's servant. God, you are free to do to me whatever you want to do to me. And at that, the angel of the Lord, the messenger, Gabriel, left her and returned to his place with God. After delivering the message, after her responding in faith, then God provided all that was needed for her to conceive and to begin to carry the child Jesus, who would come into the world as the Savior of all mankind. And what you discover is that while the law of their time would require, if Joseph so rejected her, would require her to be stoned because she was going to be found to be pregnant, what you would find is that God has already made provision. God has already set things up. God has already hooked her up with a righteous man who knows how to hear God, who knows how to listen to God, who has the kind of faith that responds to God, so that while she's in this predicament, not knowing how Joseph is going to respond, God is already over here working things out. Why? Because he's going to do it right on time, and because she said yes to him. And so God is over there working it out so that she has all the provisions that are needed for her to carry out the will of God. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into the Christmas season and we begin to think about the one who came, who laid down his glory in heaven and put on the rags of humanity, who came so that he could walk among men, so that you and I could live, who came so that he could then be a payment for our sins, the one who was born just to die. As you and I begin to think about what he gave up, let's think about this, that if God was willing to leave heaven to come for me, what will he withhold from me? If God was willing to, after he had lived 33 years, if he was willing to give up his life and die on a tree, what will he withhold from me? That's why I can say yes to Jesus, no matter how difficult the task might be. That's why I can say, yes, I trust you, because you've never, ever failed me. Yes, I can trust you, because you never, ever come up short. Yes, I can trust you, because your provisions are adequate to meet whatever the need is before me. Then as we walk in faith, and as we walk in obedience, we get to proclaim. We get to proclaim, just like it was proclaimed for Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Nothing is impossible with God. Glory! Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for the one who can make the blind see, the lame walk. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for he who can take lepers and heal them. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for him. And as you and I walk in obedience to his call upon our lives, then we will be able to receive his provision. And we then too will be witnesses. We will be able to testify to his goodness and to his power. And we will be able to declare that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide for those who respond in obedience to his request and walk in alignment with his will. Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we are here today, and our hearts are grateful for your provision, for the much, God, that you have already provided. Truth of the matter is that, God, if you don't provide another thing, you've already done more than enough. But we're thankful, God, that we cannot exhaust your resources. That, God, you have committed to taking us to the end of the destination. For you have declared that what you've begun in us, you will see it to completion. We know that this journey that we are on requires us, God, to walk by faith. In order for us to receive all that we need, God, in order to reach that destination, we must walk by faith. You have called us to walk by faith, not by sight. And so, God, we come before you today, and we're asking that, God, you will renew our confidence in you. Father, where it has been waning, where it has been lacking, that, God, you will renew it and refresh it. For you've declared that, God, your word gives us hope. It helps us to fix our hearts and our minds back on that which is important to you and back on what you've declared. Father, there are some of us who have been dealing with sickness, and we think that, God, that sickness has become a permanent resident in our bodies. But you have said that you will provide healing. So, Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. That by your great name, by your power, we ask, God, that you would heal. Make these bodies whole. So that, God, we can carry out your bidding. So that, God, we can carry out your work. So that, God, we can be messengers of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. So that, God, we can then go and give a word of healing to others. Father, the holiday season brings about many times trouble. Because for those of us who have experienced loss, sometimes we become swept away by grief in what is no more. But you have promised, God, that you will provide us with emotional stability. So we come in the name of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Spirit, we ask that, God, you would wash over us, that you would regulate, God, our minds, that you would regulate, God, our emotions, so that, God, we are stable in you. That even as we grieve, that we don't grieve like the world, like those who have no hope. But that, God, we grieve with the absolute confidence that you will comfort us because you are the God of all comfort. Help us to receive your comfort by faith and to be strengthened in our inner being. We thank you that you are the God who provides us with purpose. And it is our prayer on today that our eyes will be open, spirits quickened, our hearts in tune with you,
to recognize that our purpose is to worship you. And that through whatever vehicle you have chosen to allow that worship to be manifested, we are to do it faithfully. So God, wherever our assignments place us, help us to understand, most importantly, that where we are there to worship you and to be representatives of the King of Kings. Equip us so that we become competent ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Carry forth a message of hope to those who are dying, a message of hope to those who are lost. The truth that you are the God who loves. That God, your love cannot be measured. We thank you today. God, our hearts are open to receive, God, what you desire to provide, so that we, God, are equipped to carry out your bidding in our lives. Have your way. But we declare that we are your servants. We declare that you are able to do to us whatever you desire. In Jesus' name.